Your Bibles, please, for our second reading to Ezekiel chapter 30. Ezekiel chapter 30 and verse 1. Hear now the inerrant, infallible, and inspired word of God. The word of the Lord came again unto me, saying, Son of man, prophesy and say, Thus saith the Lord God, Howl ye, woe worth the day, for the day is near, even the day of the Lord is near, a cloudy day, it shall be the time of the heathen, and the sword shall come upon Egypt, and great pain shall be in Ethiopia, when the slain shall fall in Egypt. They shall take away her multitude, and her foundations shall be broken down. Ethiopia and Libya and Lydia and all the mingled people and Kuv and the men of the land that is in league shall fall with them by the sword. Thus saith the Lord, they also that uphold Egypt shall fall, and the pride of her power shall come down from the tower of Syene, shall they fall in it by the sword, saith the Lord God. And they shall be desolate in the midst of the countries that are desolate, and her cities shall be in the midst of the cities that are wasted. And they shall know that I am the Lord when I have set a fire in Egypt and when all her helpers shall be destroyed. In that day shall messengers go forth from me in ships, to make the careless Ethiopians afraid, and great pain shall come upon them, as in the day of Egypt, for lo, it cometh. Thus saith the Lord God, I will also make the multitude of Egypt to cease by the hand of Nebuchadrezzar, king of Babylon. He and his people with him, the terrible of the nations, shall be brought to destroy the land, and they shall draw their swords against Egypt, and shall fill the land with the slain. And I will make the rivers dry, and sell the land into the hand of the wicked. And I will make the land waste, and all that is therein, by the hand of strangers. I, the Lord, have spoken it. Thus saith the Lord God, I will also destroy the idols, and I will cause their images to cease out of Noph. And there shall be no more a prince of the land of Egypt, and I will put a fear in the land of Egypt. And I will make Pathros desolate, and I will set fire in Zoan, and will execute judgments in No, and I will pour my fury upon Sin, the strength of Egypt, and I will cut off the multitude of No, and I will set fire in Egypt. Sin shall have great pain, and No shall be rent asunder, and Noph shall have distresses daily. The young men of Aven and Pibeset shall fall by the sword, and these cities shall go into captivity. And at Tahaphnehes also the day shall be darkened, when I shall break there the yokes of Egypt. And the pomp of her strength shall cease in her. As for her, a cloud shall cover her, and her daughters shall go into captivity. Thus will I execute judgments in Egypt, and they shall know that I am the Lord. And it came to pass in the 11th year, in the first month, in the 7th day of the month, that the word of the Lord came unto me, saying, Son of man, I have broken the arm of Pharaoh, king of Egypt, and lo, it shall not be bound up to be healed, nor put a roller to bind it, to make it strong to hold the sword. Therefore thus saith the Lord God, Behold, I am against Pharaoh, king of Egypt, and will break his arms, the strong, and that which was broken, and I will cause the sword to fall out of his hand. And I will scatter the Egyptians among the nations, and will disperse them through the countries. And I will strengthen the arms of the king of Babylon, and put my sword in his hand. But I will break Pharaoh's arms, and he shall groan before him with the groanings of a deadly wounded man. But I will strengthen the arms of the king of Babylon, and the arms of Pharaoh shall fall down. And they shall know that I am the Lord when I shall put my sword into the hand of the king of Babylon, and he shall stretch it out upon the land of Egypt. And I will scatter the Egyptians among the nations and disperse them among the countries, and they shall know that I am the Lord. May God add his blessing to the reading and hearing of his most holy word. So we continue then in the Lord's pronouncement against Egypt. A couple of weeks ago when I was here last and we read prior chapters, we saw, first of all, that there was a date that was given, right? In the 10th year, the 10th month, in the 12th day of the month. That would be chapter 29. Now, midway through chapter 30, along about verse 20 or so, it came to pass in the 11th year, in the first month, in the 7th day of the month. So, not very long after the original prophecy, a couple of months worth, maybe 3 months worth, if we're doing inclusive numbering. So the 10th month to the first, it could be 3 months, maybe four. There is this fall of Egypt then, right? I have broken the arm of Pharaoh, king of Egypt, and lo, it shall not be bound up. And so the Lord continues then his pronouncement of judgment against Egypt. It's fairly straightforward, I suppose. There are a couple of things in it that I found interesting as I read along in my own meditations, and I hope that you will find them interesting and helpful as well. Notice that we remember when Egypt was originally defeated by the Lord at the Red Sea, that Pharaoh and his army ended up dead on the seashore and so on. Okay, so now notice that Egypt has become a mighty nation again. That they were so mighty that the people of God thought that they would find help in Egypt from the judgment of God. And so they become a target then because they have, in a sense, served the place of trust that they should have given to the Lord. They have moved away from their prophet Jeremiah and his word to them to be taken captive by the king of Babylon. Instead, they have said, no, this is God's city, it shall never fall, and if we need to go to Egypt for help, we will. And so the first thing that we want to remember here in our own meditations is, be careful where you find your help. Because there are times when the Lord has ordained that our help should be perhaps in some unlikely place. We must follow his word. Now, we don't have a prophet Jeremiah to give us some extraordinary revelation as they did in that day pertaining to their being taken captive. Okay, but we do have his word. And we've already heard from Matthew chapter 6 how we ought not to seek help in earthly things. Sometimes we end up doing that, don't we? Sometimes we trust in means. And in trusting in means, what do we do? Well, we commit a violation of the first commandment. At least that's what our larger catechism tells us. They were trusting in the means of, what? Egypt's defense of them for safety. So there are indeed good applications to be made from this passage. So Egypt then comes under God's judgment and purview for a couple of reasons. We read back a couple of chapters ago that, you know, Nebuchadnezzar did some really good work for me in Tyre, and he didn't get paid for it, so now I'm going to pay him for it, right? Because the Lord is just, and the Lord uses that justice almost in a tongue-in-cheek way to show that now he will move upon Egypt because Egypt has become the object of the people of God's trust. And we'll remember the later chapters in Jeremiah chapter 40, in the 40s of Jeremiah, to remember that, where they said, you know, Jeremiah, tell us what we're supposed to do. Whatever it is, we'll do from the word of the Lord. Yes, you're the mouth of God. Tell us, don't go to Egypt. Oh, no, God didn't say that. Really? So that's the first thing. But notice also, let's see, where is it? at Tehaphnehes in verse 18, also the day shall be darkened when I shall break there the yokes of Egypt, and the pomp of her strength shall cease for her. As for her, a cloud shall cover her, and her daughters shall go into captivity. Anybody else besides me remember that God interposed himself as a shadowing cloud between Israel and Egypt in the first defeat of Egypt at the Red Sea? And so God is saying the same thing here. I'm casting my shadow over Egypt to show you that they are your enemy and not your friend. I'm interposing my judgments upon Egypt. The cloud shall cover them, as the cloud covered them from your eyes before. So also now, my cloud shall come upon them to disabuse you of any trusting in them in this day. And so the Lord hasn't forgotten that at one time he destroyed Egypt. Rather, he makes use of that to teach the people of God that they shall not trust in Egypt. And then finally we note, and I think this is going to apply in every age of humanity, were the Egyptians confessors of the one true God? Absolutely not. Was Babylon a confessor of the one true God? Absolutely not. Does God require a nation to be a confessor of himself in order for him to make use of that nation on the world stage for the advancement of his kingdom? Absolutely not. And so, as the Lord caused Egypt to fall and Babylon to rise, as the Lord caused Assyria to rise and then fall, Babylon later on to rise and then fall, as he raised up Cyrus, as he raised up the Medes and the Persians, as he brought down Egypt and raised up Egypt, as he raised him up, as we hear in Exodus, in order that he might make his power known, so the Lord does that in every age and will continue to do so. In our age, nations rise and fall because of the overarching providence of God. We just prayed that a moment ago. When we pray, "Thy kingdom come," we pray that the Lord Jesus Christ will exercise the kingdom of his power, that is, as God himself over all of the universe, that he would exercise the kingdom of his power in such a way as will conduce to these ends, and the ends we have prayed for is the ends of the advancement of the kingdom of Christ, his church, his visible kingdom. That's still going on, brothers and sisters. What we see here with Babylon and Egypt is not new. Nations rise and nations fall because with the Lord Jesus Christ, who has been given all things pertaining to the advancement of his kingdom and his providential working as God. Pertaining to that, what do we see? We see nations rise and nations fall. But for God, and when I say God, I mean the triune God, these things are all about the church. They're all about the advancement of Christ's kingdom. All right, with that then, let's stand and continue.